we're going to just cast your eyes to the screen for a moment, and we're going to see just a short clip that will introduce this morning's message.
This tree is over 300 feet tall, estimated to be at least 600 years old. And that's nothing. There are trees towering over this forest that were just seedlings when Christ was walking on the earth. How deep do you think the roots are on a tree like this? 100 feet? 1,000 feet? The truth is, a tree this tall can't grow roots deep enough to support itself. That is why redwoods have intertwining roots. They support one another. These trees literally do for each other what they can't do alone. I think Jesus demonstrated that same mindset for us, that we're all in this together, supporting one another. I mean, think about it. He never just passed somebody by, leaving them stuck. Jesus was constantly intertwining his life with those he came in contact with. He called people out of obscurity to join him in his journey of changing the world. He healed a blind man with mud. He restored a chronically ill outcast with merely the hem of his garment. He renewed one woman's hope for second chances and reminded a Pharisee of his need for mercy instead of morality. Jesus' ministry was constantly intertwined with people, connecting with them on the most intimate levels and changing their lives forever. Jesus called his followers to love people the way that he loved them, to bring health to the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, touch the untouchables, and as you have been treated generously, so live generously. And that call hasn't expired. Yeah. His charge to the church is just as clear today as ever. Therefore, may we be rooted in Christ, intertwined with one another, so that we may continue his mission.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just want to cast our eyes to you today. We invite you and ask you to continue to speak to us this morning, not through the words that I'm about to bring, but through your Spirit, Lord. May you highlight those things that we need highlighted in our lives, Lord. Challenge us, encourage us, and equip us for our next steps, for the day, for the week, for the year, whatever that may be, Lord. We look to you today. Amen. We finish off our Easter series, and you're probably saying, why are we doing an Easter series when that was last week? But I think it's important not to just stop there because, you know, as they mentioned on the screen, the call hasn't expired, has it? You know, Jesus died on the cross, he rose again, and he encourages us to live a life in him. And that's exactly what we're doing. So this morning's called The Road Beyond Easter, to be rooted in Jesus. There's a handout there on your seats that actually has some places to fill out. Also, some of the scripture verses I'll be referring to this morning. I love a good challenge. Do you like a good challenge? We like good challenges sometimes, and I like a good challenge in the garden. I like doing some manual labor sometimes. And we had a couple of years ago, we were living in this house. It had this perfect place for a garden. We got the right light, the right sun, was in the right location, but there was only one problem. There was a massive big stump that was in the way. It's probably about that round. Been chopped down ages ago. The stump looked like it had been there for a number of years, and I thought, that can't be too hard to get rid of, right? That can't be too hard. It's starting to look a bit rotten, a bit decaying. That's all right. So, you know, got the gear together, went outside and started hacking at this this stump that was there. And it was a little bit harder than I thought. After many countless blisters, I snapped an axe handle that was weak. I won't say it's my strength by no means. It was weak, cracked and broken, destroyed a chainsaw chain in the process, only to get to the end of that process to realize it wasn't going to come out. There was no way I was going to get that out. So it was about just chopping it off at the ground level and cover it over. The root system went what seemed like forever, and I just simply ran out of enthusiasm to take care of it, to do that. But as we referred to in that clip, trees have a unique way of being able to support themselves up. You know, have a unique way of being able to do that. Except when weather comes along like it has this last week, and there was a tree down on the road the other day coming to work. But generally, they hold themselves up quite well, don't they? Some of the big gum trees that we have here in Australia. I don't know if you've heard about some of the redwood trees that they referred to in the video there this morning, but they're native to northwestern North America. And while we don't have redwoods around, to give you a bit of an idea of how big those trees are, they grow to some 115 metres tall. Like 115 metres tall, that's huge. As a kid, I'm not going to climb to the top of that just for fun, no? So it seems like I'm a little bit scared of heights, but 115 metres off the ground. The trunk size, they say, is about 4 or 5 metres across. So we're talking nearly the width of the stage here across. How incredible is that? I've seen a picture this week of a car that's been hollowed out on the inside, but a car driving through this thing like a tunnel. But the unique part is the root system that holds them up in the sky. The root system extends some 15 metres out, so not down, but out from the tree to only go down about 2 to 4 metres below. And they don't have that main taproot that a lot of big trees that have, because they can't grow down deep enough. I will get to a point, I promise. I'm not just going to give you a whole heap of, you know, facts around trees this morning, because that's not what I'm here to do. But they have what they call a lateral root system, a system that travels out but then intertwines with the other redwood trees in that vicinity. So the redwood tree forest need other redwood trees around them so they can interlock their roots and be able to hold each other up at that height. Quite amazing. Quite amazing. And as you said on the video, redwoods do for each other what they can't do alone. By themselves, they're not going to stay up, but together, they're able to hold each other up. Now, if you were to cast back in the Bible to the beginning in Genesis, where it goes through like the creation story, when God created the world, we hear about where God, you know, made man in his image, but he didn't make him to be alone. He created someone called Eve, so to have a companion. God saw that the companionship was important. But in addition to that, God created communities of people to live and to work together. A bit like that lateral root system for humanity is quite important. Because we can do things by ourselves, and sometimes we like to do things by ourselves, but tell you one thing, it's much easier when we've got others around us, isn't it? It's much easier when we've got a community to be able to do that within. Throughout history, we see communities coming together for good to achieve things, but also for the not so good as well. Yeah, that's marked through history. We can't deny that. And I know this sounds cliche, but it says, you know, we've heard the saying before, that we're better together. We're better together. And I just love even this morning in our sharing time, where people are sharing and encouraging one another across the room, praying for one another, you know, to support one another, uphold one another, where people serve throughout the church and through places like Jurulong to be able to support each other, to be that lateral root system. Now, remember Paul, he was a follower of Jesus, one of the disciples. He was a fisherman. He was the disciple that denied Jesus, but then carried on the work of Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead. Paul taught a community in Scripture. He wrote a letter, right? He wrote a letter to the church of Ephesus and to the church community there. And we saw our first one on your handout there, and it says this from Ephesians 3. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You may want to underline in that this morning, which is sort of one of the key purposes, has been rooted and established in love. You might want to underline it on your sheet there. But that's just what part of the focus this morning. How we act and interact with others is a very sinew of the roots we spread as Jesus followers. The way we act and interact is that sinew of the roots we spread as Jesus followers. So how do we grow healthy roots established in love that bring life, health, healing and strength to those around us? And I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. It begins a bit like this. Healthy roots grow when we love one another unconditionally. Healthy roots grow when we love one another unconditionally. Now, these words can quite often be easier to speak than to live out, right? Yes, they can be. It's listening to live them out. But coming out of the back end of the Easter story that we went through last week, we remember how Jesus loved unconditionally, didn't he? You know, no matter what, knowing that even Paul was going to deny Jesus 3 times that day, he still chose to continue on. He still chose to use Paul in such a unique way, regardless of what had taken place, of what had happened. Jesus said these words to his disciples, knowing that they would need to hear them. He said, remember the story of the Last Supper. They'd shared a meal together at that Last Supper. Jesus predicted his betrayal by Judas. Judas left the room and got on to the business of betrayal. And Jesus predicts John's denial of knowing Jesus. All this happened that one night. And in these moments, Jesus sets down for his disciples these words to establish and to bind them together like that redwood lateral root system. He laid down these words. And he said this, he says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. These are Jesus' words. And I question in reading that in preparation, a new commandment. Or was it just being consistent in his message that he shared over time while he was here on earth? You know, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, love God to love others. That's what he passed on to them. That they will know that they were his followers. He needed his disciples to hear and to understand these words for all that was about to come. For all that was about to unfold and be unpacked. But we also need to hear and understand the words that we seek to live our lives rooted and established in his love. To allow Jesus' love to resonate with us, to be able to pass that out, to be able to live out of that. Reading the New Testament, we can see actions that affirm, they listened, they obeyed, and it didn't just stay there. There's words that are being passed on, words that really reinforce this. And John, the disciple that we've mentioned already, wrote to remind his readers, that includes us this far on, what it means to love as Jesus did. In 1 John it says this. It says, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atonement sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's a good commandment that he passed on, a good teaching that he passed on to us. So healthy roots grow when we love unconditionally. And that leads to the second point. Healthy roots grow when we love sacrificially. When we love sacrificially. Again, we look at the words of Paul that help us in loving one another sacrificially. It says in Philippians, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing for us. Took on that very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Could it be more that his ultimate act of sacrifice has become so familiar to us that sometimes we forget the impact that it's made into our lives? Sometimes we hear the story so much it becomes familiar that we actually forget that what that actually means to us. The roots of Jesus' sacrifice reach as far as the circumference of the world, as deep as the ocean, as high as the sky. His love just reached out through that one act. I really like song lyrics, and quite often someone will say something, it'll trigger something in my mind, I'll think straight away of a song. And in particular, when you think of God's love for us each, in the song, What a Beautiful Name, it says, "You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down." Don't you love that image? It goes on, "My sin was great, but your love was greater. What can separate us now?" Imagine that strong bond of love that he has for us. I just love that. Jesus, being the very nature of God, made himself nothing. Born in a manger, a helpless baby, reliant upon newly minted parents for his care, King Jesus taking on the very nature of a servant, obedient to death. What a sacrifice that he had. So here Paul implies those who bear the name Christian to put on that same mindset, to love sacrificially, to humble ourselves on behalf of others, and to love with the heart, mind, and soul of Jesus, who willingly made himself nothing for others, for us each. John affirms how far and wide our roots of faith should be encouraged to grow in that verse, John 3:16. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. That's in 1 John. Am I actually called, or are we actually living out, laying down our life for others in the way that we live, in that humble act? We can do that in different ways. And in 1 John, it goes on to say, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love with words or speech, but with actions and with truth. One of the ways we've done that just recently was through the self-denial appeal, being able to give to the work of the church overseas. We do it each week, and I love Damien's introduction to that this morning, to be able to give. Because God teaches us in our sacrifice, yeah? He teaches us in being able to sacrifice for him. Long before the actions speak louder than words was first published, and I say just prior to the 1700s, John helps us to understand the breadth and depth of loving sacrificially. Healthy roots grow when we love one another unconditionally and when we love one another sacrificially. But the third point I want you to consider. Healthy roots grow when we love one another forgivingly. When we love one another forgivingly. Paul wrote these words in the fledgling church in Ephesus. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's part of the opening one that I mentioned. That body of believers needed encouragement in this area, and there had been some instances where they had not lived up to these words. So Paul reminded them the importance of forgiveness, of what that meant. He wanted to reach out to them and remind them of what Jesus had offered them in the life of this young church. That it needs to focus and to really grasp those healthy roots. We too need to remind ourselves of that, don't we? As we live our lives. As well as remember why that Jesus forgave us first. Can you recall the first time you were forgiven by something or by someone? Like by a parent or something like that? I've seen a powerful video, just a little short clip just recently. It was in a courtroom situation. And victims were giving victim impact statements, and the perpetrator was in the room, and yeah, they'd all got up and spoke about how much they hated this person for what they'd done, the fact that they'd robbed them of you know, a loved one, or had, you know, great impact. But this one gentleman gets up from the room, and he says this. He says, "There is people in this room who hate you. but I'm not one of them. You have made it hard for me to live up to what God calls us to do, and that's to forgive. And he said to him, he said, you're forgiven. He forgave this gentleman in that room. Huge sacrifice that he did. How hard is it to forgive? Sometimes the call to forgive is bigger than those redwood trees, 115 meters tall. Sometimes seems greater, but forgiveness doesn't always be transferred or interpreted to forget, because we all carry wounds of hurt in our lives. But sometimes it takes time for those hurts to, you know, like a wound, to heal, to get a scab, like kids pick at the scab because we know it's there, but eventually to actually heal and to move beyond that. It takes time. But it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When we receive forgiveness, we can experience relief and joy that is the forgiveness God asks us to pass on to others and to those around us. Maybe in our family, friends, colleagues, whatever that is. Let's hear once more from Paul where it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave us. Healthy roots grow when we live for forgiveness rooted in love. We can tell a hurting world how much we love Jesus and how Jesus loves them, but can we tell a wayward family member how much we care? Can we offer that over to them? Or to a friend, or you fill in the blank in that space. It's a hard challenge that God calls us to, but it comes back to the sacrifice that he made for us. When God loved the world so much that he gave us his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He gave over to us. I'm going to invite the worship team back up this morning, and I'm just going to take a moment just to sit this morning. And you're welcome, obviously, always to come and to pray and to respond. You might want to, there's some place for some notes or a prayer on the back of your page there this morning that you might want to fill out, you might not. You might want to just not write anything to paper, but you might want to pray. And that's an opportunity to do that this morning as we do that, to consider being rooted and established in his love and to see him at work within us. So ask him this morning what that is. Ask our Heavenly Father, what is it that he wants to do in these next few moments as we worship together?